Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
That makes me uncomfortable every time that guy says
that. But it's true.
That's, good morning. Welcome in, everybody. Hope you all had a great weekend. John and Lance, along with Aaron, and off we go as we talk about some good, some bad. Yesterday, some bad. We had a great weekend going. Well, with, you know, kicking the Cowboys' ass and just beating the snot out of the Mariners all weekend long. Everything was great. Couldn't be better. And then all of a sudden, Graveman and Presley just put the brakes on a tremendous weekend. And this guy France is pretty damn good. He is, if you were to ask who is the leading hitter since the All-Star break in the American League, it's Ty France, the best. He's the best. And you'd be like, well, that's a big toe guy. He has been a pain in the ass lately. And unfortunately, he was even a bigger pain in the ass for your Houston Astros in the ninth, homering off Ryan Presley, only his second blown save of the season. And the Astros go on to lose it as they just fell apart. The bullpen fell apart and blew one for Fromber. Holy crap.
I feel so bad. Fromber's pitched so well. I mean, the good news is Fromber looked like dominant Fromber. Everything was they were pounding out ground balls into the ground. Like, everything was a ground ball out. 9 of his first 12 outs were ground outs. Like, he had them. He was throwing the backdoor curve with a nice sharp snap to it. He was dropping the curveballs in front of the plate, basically showing it low in the zone and having guys chase and swing. And Baggy at one point even said, when Todd Callis referenced it, you know, there was only one hit up to that point. He said, I didn't want to say anything. Is how this kid's looking right now. Fromber had complete command of his pitches, and he just had it stolen from him by the wind stolen by the three relievers. Three relievers didn't do their job. I mean, Graveman gave up one run, so the game was still winnable. I mean, you still had Fromber still could have got the win, but then, you know, you had Presley not doing his job, and of course Stanek at any point. I know Stanek has been much better over the last 6 weeks, but that was a very disappointing performance from him yesterday. And disappointing because you get to the 10th inning, you get the bases loaded, and you punch out three times in a row. That was atrocious.
Yeah, that was awful.
How did they not get any? You know what? Is there anything Dusty could have done out of all that? My dad is all pissed off, but you know, I told you my dad's this big Astro fan.
Mm.
It's his first time he's watched Astros full-time since he was coaching at University of Houston. First time, and that was in the 80s. And he's like, he said, what, Dusty couldn't manufacture one run, and what is Lance McCullers doing out there running? So, well, you don't want to burn up a position player.
Yeah.
And, you know, he probably thinks Lance has enough speed, and that's why he's doing
that.
No, he
does. I mean, that's fine.
But
that
is there
a fine
anything
move
Dusty could have done?
To
I don't really know that there is, though.
Oh, well, they had
you how many, put the ball in play.
You know, how many times did they do that, though? It was ridiculous yesterday, the opportunities and the lack of production after 15 and 12 runs, and they just came up with hit after hit after hit on Friday and Saturday, and yesterday nothing when they had so many opportunities. It just was ridiculous how many guys they left, and it came back to bite him in the ass. Fromber battled his ass off. Holy crap, was he good.
Yeah.
I mean, hitting his spots, he was spectacular.
He looked
great
too. He just looked really, I mean, you know, it's not the best lineup in baseball, but I don't really care. Fromber throwing strikes was a big deal to me.
No.
Fromber walking people has become the norm. Fromber, the last two games, this is two games in a row now. We mentioned it with Julia Morales, and she said the same thing. And this is the second game where he looks like he has command of his pitches. He looks like he knows where he wants to go. He's locating his fastballs. Like, dude, Fromber looks like, okay, this might be SP1 Fromber.
Yeah. No. He is. I don't think. Well, after this, and if he continues to do this, he is game one starter. There's no question
okay,
about
well,
that.
Well, this is two in a row. Now you want to see that, yeah. Okay, he's back. He must have fixed something. Now I want the questions to be about what was it with Fromber that you guys, you know, that you guys worked on, Strami? What was it? Was there something he need? Like, I would love to hear what it is. My guess is it's mental, but it's probably physical too. There's probably something he was doing that was hurting his, you know, in terms of his release or whatever. But you know, to the larger point, you did have two games where you absolutely mauled their pitching. You know, home runs galore. Yordan is right now just really seeing the ball well. Jake Meyers is clearly moving, trending in the right direction towards being the best Jake that's ever been a Houston Astro. It's early, and frankly, the competition's not great with Odorizzi and Mariznick, but I think Jake Meyers has an opportunity, when it's all said and done, to be the greatest Jake that's ever played Astros baseball.
Well, he's hitting .341, and I don't think Jake Mariznick, even in the game one of a season,
hit .341. I'm just trying to show enough respect to the sample size that Jake Mariznick put together.
Certainly this deep into a season, Jake Mariznick was never at .341.
But both have the hair, but Jake was prettier.
Jake Odorizzi had never had a 3.341 ERA.
No.
No. So.
No. I think Jake Odorizzi is going to get destroyed in this one. And Jake Mariznick really, frankly, didn't do a whole lot. He did have a couple long home runs. He had the pretty hair. The women liked him.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But this guy, and both were fast. Mariznick and Myers, both fast.
I don't know how you take this guy out of the lineup.
So now we're talking about how to take this guy out of the lineup.
Honestly,
he's better than McCormick, he's a better hitter than McCormick, but McCormick has played, I mean, McCormick's fine too. It's laughable now that there was any teeth gnashing and pearl clenching over Miles Straw being traded.
Yeah.
Both these guys are better than Straw. Let's be real about this.
Oh, no, absolutely.
But Myers looks like a legitimate, this is an everyday center fielder right here. I think Myers is going to end up being the everyday center fielder.
Well, we'll see. I mean, hey.
And McCormick is the one who's probably in due time going to have Michael Brantley's job when Brantley's done playing baseball with the Astros. That's probably what it's going to look like. Until then, I mean, Tucker's not going anywhere.
No, heck
he
no.
He shouldn't be fighting for
playing
time.
Boy, it sure would be nice. You know, Dusty said, that guy's a future all-star. Tucker, it would be nice to have him back in the lineup, and it sure is going to be nice when you get your full. Now Bregman is scheduled to come back, be activated possibly tomorrow or today or tomorrow, going to be activated. Urquidy is making starts. He's going to make three starts in Sugarland. He's probably going to be back.
That's not true. Urquidy?
Yeah, in a couple weeks.
Are we
he'll
sure?
be back. Yeah. Yeah.
They know that Jose Urquidy is in the building.
Yes.
They know he's here in the state.
Yes, he's in the states. He's
alive.
Has
there been an Amber Alert for him?
He's
not Amber.
Alive.
What color can
no,
we
no,
have for him?
Oh.
Yeah, I can't do Amber.
No.
It's a clear alert, isn't it?
Is it when you don't know where a pitcher is?
When you lost a pitcher?
Yeah.
Well, didn't we have one out for Diaz? What was that? What color
Levis
was that?
Diaz had a color. We had something. Well, it's not the brick red like the old Astros uniforms that kind of bad luck with those uniforms.
So you're getting
tan alert because of spider tech?
Oh, yeah.
It could be.
Yeah.
The missing pitcher is a tan alert now.
Yeah. That's a tan alert.
I'll send that to the Texas Department of Transportation. So
yeah, send it in so we can get that on our... Because Urquidy had that last year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, or was that the beginning of this year when he was... No, that was the beginning of this year when he was gone forever with the COVID-like symptoms. He just disappeared.
That was Baez that disappeared.
Well, Baez for a long time. But Urquidy, remember...
Was last year
season?
That he
was
had.
It last year?
Yeah, it was last year.
Where he started the season, he wasn't with the team, and he wasn't with the team forever?
But pretty sure that was last year. Where the hell is Urquidy? I'm pretty sure that was last year. Anyway, whatever the case may be, he's coming back. Bregman's coming back. Tucker's going to be back some year. It's going to be really, really nice when this whole team is actually together. But there's some decisions to make. What do you do with Jake Meyers? What do you do with McCormick? What do you do with Aledmys Diaz? Where's he going to get at bats?
This is I know it's a good problem to have, but it is a little bit of a. It's going to take some work because you can't just keep. What? Jordan's hitting home runs too. It's not like you can just say, "Let's just take Jordan out."
And, where are you going to take Jordan out? No.
That's what I mean. Who are you?
One of the greatest hitters in ever starts to a career in baseball history.
Realistically, then Diaz goes back to being a fill-in from game to game to game.
And so is Meyers.
And Meyers is going to have, well, it's going to be between Meyers, center field is going to be Meyers and rotating ABs between Meyers and McCormick, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. And Taylor Jones, beat it.
And Taylor Jones has hit lately. So I guess, you know, I'd rather have it be a battle of a bunch of guys who can hit than a bunch of guys who can't hit. But what's going to be a little interesting is if Alex Bregman comes back and doesn't hit, how does Dusty handle that? I mean,
that's going to be a real problem.
You got Aledmys Diaz, you know, you're going to be tempted to go to Aledmys Diaz and maybe get some ABs from him, but you got to get Bregman. Look, long-term, Bregman is your guy. Bregman's your core player. He's one of the three most important players on your roster. Long-term, you paid him like that. He hits with power. He's a good defensive third baseman. Alex Bregman is your guy. Make no mistake about it. Let's not fall into the trap that you just never know. No, Alex Bregman is being paid like a premier all-star. Alex Bregman is a premier all-star. You've got to get him going. But for right now, the temptation for Dusty, if Bregman keeps being rusty and doesn't hit the ball well, man, it is going to be interesting to see how Dusty handles that. The rest of them, you know, you've got a center field spot to get ABs for McCormick. And Jones, you don't care about. Like, whatever, he goes back to Skeeters or maybe stick him on the bench, whatever the case may be. Although I do think it's going to be some interesting roster. I guess Jones goes, right?
Jones has
to go. But the Diaz thing is a good problem to have, but it's still – you know, figuring out your best lineup from time to time, Dusty may have to start lineups that he knows is not his best lineup. Even if, and the same thing with your boy Tucker. If Tucker doesn't come back hitting well, he's going to have lineups that involve that include Bregman and Tucker, and you're going to have to get those guys ready. They're going to need their ABs until they get into the swing of things. So Dusty's going to go in knowing that, man, we could be playing Jake Meyers and McCormick and Diaz right now, and even though that's not our long-term solution, we know that might be the best lineup for us
right now.
Because both those other guys, like all those guys are hitting right now.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Meyers deserves to be in the lineup every single day the way this dude is hitting. He is on it. Did you hear Baggy talking about him yesterday? He's like, man, I really like this guy's approach. What the? He's proving that he is a big league player and he is going to be around.
Ass, too.
When you get this kind of opportunity and you take advantage of it the way that Meyers is, I mean, that dude is making himself some money. It's going to take a while, obviously, because of, you know, his clock and 6 years that you're under team control team control and then arbitration. But dude is making himself some money. And we brought this up on the Sports Map. You know, look at all of these guys that are coming up and contributing in the out of the Astros minor league system. How is the Astros minor league system so downtrodden by Baseball America, and these guys are all coming up and hitting the snot out of the ball?
But they're not the Blue Bloods. That's the thing.
That's okay. You guys are going about it wrong. You guys are evaluating wrong.
Well, I think it's the basic way is how highly were you rated coming in? How have you performed in the lower levels?
How about developing players in your minor league system?
Yeah, that's a big part of it, too. I think Jake Meyers, I don't think they have a bunch of quality players in the minors. Is the concern, and definitely arms, I think, is a big concern right now for the Astros. Like, where are the arms? Because if you couldn't hit the bigs this year, if you're a good minor league pitcher, with that bullpen the way they were early in the season, middle of the season, and yesterday, they just got done trading for three pitchers. Like, at no point did anyone from the minor leagues come up and make a fa- – by the way, is there a tan alert for Enoli Paredes? Is he a tan alert?
No. Please.
I'm not trying to find him now. I'd like to know in the future.
No, Manoli Paredes is lost, and we'd like them to stay lost.
They took him out camping and put him in a cave and said, hey, we're going to come back for you when we think you're ready. And they just left him in a cave.
Dell's dad brought him to Home Depot.
No one took Anoli out to the farm and dropped him off.
No, Anoli Paredes. What's wrong with you? 714 ESPN 97.5. When we come back, we'll talk about what the Texans did this weekend and the big win and the Governor's Cup coming back to the city of Houston. It doesn't get any bigger than that. But you know what season it is right now, and that's pest killing season. And McGrath Pest Control does the killing for you. We have the mosquito killing system and murdering system in the backyard.
We need the mosquito murdering right now.
It is so awesome.
If you don't have it now after all the rain and all the heat, those mosquitoes are going to live forever in this heat.
It is awesome. Dude, we have not had a mosquito in the backyard. We can sit back there, drink some wine. You can eat back there, and you're not bothered by the mosquitoes. It is totally, totally sweet. If your backyard is full of mosquitoes and you just can't, and your kids can't play outside, you can't go swimming, you can't do everything that you want, you can't eat outside, can't have your patio, can't be on your patio, all that stuff, I'm telling you, this murdering system is the best. You're looking for, of course, they kill ants and roaches and fleas and bed bugs and rodents of any kind, but the mosquito murdering system is fantastic. Got to check it out. 281-469-8240, 281-469-8240, or McGrathPestControl.com.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. 718 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Houston Texans with a big, big win in the Governor Cup Bowl. To bring it at home, did you see Cal running around the field with it? It was awesome.
Yeah,
it was quite the sight.
It was, Lonnie Johnson's picks. Lonnie Johnson had a big pick six. And when that happened, I said, you know what? This cup.
I think the cup's coming home.
This cup may come home. Yeah. It was 14-7. Lonnie tied it up with a pick six. And all I could think is, the dream of getting the cup back in Houston.
Mm-hmm. It could be real.
It may not be such a far-fetched reality to get the cup back.
No. Well, I will say this. I know that wasn't their offensive line. I know that obviously Dak didn't. You take everything with a grain of salt, but they're not great guys against our not great guys. Our not great guys won. That's all there is to it. Here's the thing that's kind of encouraging is that a lot of
those guys were the best we got.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they're the best we got, but they're still not great guys. That's what I'm saying.
Well, they might be good people.
No. I know Whitney Merciless is a great person.
Great guy.
I'm listening. Actually, at the beginning of the game, I was in my
car. Papa John's commercial? Did you see that?
The what? Papa John's documentary?
Yeah, it's got a chance to be nominated for an Oscar for short documentary. I'm pretty excited about that.
It wasn't a short documentary. It was a mini-series.
Typically 30 minutes is like a Holy short cow. Docs. And that's about how long it was. Yeah, about 30 minutes.
How much did Papa pay for that one? Yeah, goodness gracious, because that was long. So I'm in my car, though, and Andre, Mark Vandermeer is doing the call, and Mark said, strip, sack, and ball is loose, and he didn't say anything, and Andre said, I think it was Whitney Merciless, but came in and got that, and I was like, Whitney Merciless?
He was wrong.
Made a play? And then it was like, oh, it was Jacob Martin. I was like, oh, that makes more sense.
Whitney was on the other side and got stoned in his rush. I was paying close attention to it. It had no momentum. But on the flip side of that, it was Jacob Martin who has that little hop step. I noticed this on tape watching guys a lot. This is a move where you run and then you jump and you try to, you hit a little jump where you try to jump around. Like you jump to take instead of a long stride, you're literally jumping forward to try to help turn the corner and flip your hips around the rusher. And Jacob Martin beat, Lyle Collins. Jacob Martin beat Lyle Collins with that little move, and that's a real starter.
Yeah.
That's a starting right tackle for the Dallas Cowboys. Jacob Martin, who I'm convinced is going to be a starting pass rusher for the Houston Texans, that was good on good.
Yeah. No. That was, and that was good. And you know who else was good? Was Charles Omenihue. He had a game.
Dowdle again, the running back. Play action for Rush. Pocket collapsing, and he's going to go down. Second time tonight. that the Texans have gotten to the quarterback. This is Charles Omenihu, who's had a terrific camp and preseason.
I knew that Charles was going to make a big difference. He's coming off the outside up here, up top of your screen. And again, he's just got that arm over technique, the swat, violent hands to finish on the back end of that. He is so impressive at the point of the attack. Jeremy Sprinkle really didn't have a chance to block him at the tight end position. Just the arm rip over. Man, he got such range. You know, out of Texas, got those long arms, put on the extra pounds to be able to play outside. He's impressive.
Yeah, that was impressive. That was all good. But that was not the play that got the ball rolling downhill on the cup coming back to its rightful place here in the city of Houston. The Governor's Cup, of course, something we talked about for years and years. It was this man let off the leash. He told you he was going to be let off the leash. And Lonnie Johnson at safety, as Spencer says, his natural position. Here is what Lonnie Johnson was able to do.
Yep, a lot of those guys have in common short-term contracts, motivated.
Intercepted Lonnie Johnson with the pick. Johnson down the sideline. Can he outrace everybody? He can. Touchdown, Texans. 51-yard return for number one, Lonnie Johnson.
So, touched a pick six by Lonnie Johnson. That's nice. You know, that is. He was in the right spot, picked it off, ran it to the house. That's good stuff. What is really incredible is one of the worst teams in NFL history, takeaway-wise, is like a bunch of ball hawks this preseason with four more turnovers in this one. Holy crap. It has been unbelievable how they're attacking defensively, how they're attacking the ball, stripping the ball, picking the ball, getting it all done. Here's Coach Culley on the turnovers.
We've seen the work on the turnovers. How have you seen that translated? How have you seen your team, their confidence, enforcing confidence in turnovers grow since Lovey's put this system in?
Well, what ends up happening is not just them. What happens when they get those turnovers, man, they're such a big psychological thing for our offense. You know, the first one tonight, we end up getting a short field. The positive thing about it was, which we haven't always done in practice, when you get those turnovers, you get the turnover where we got it tonight, start the game, you have to get a touchdown. And we were able to do that tonight. And that's why those things are so important. And, you know, again, we've been that way all training camp. It's starting to show. We just got to continue to get better and more consistent to keep creating those.
And those turnovers, it's what Lovie Smith is. It's who he is. It's his identity as a coach. It was who he was, the Bears, the way the Bears got to the Super Bowl. They didn't get there on the exquisite talent, of,
Rex Ryan?
From Florida. Rex Grossman.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't Sexy Rexy, the sex cannon. You know, who was the one who was making it happen? It was the defense. It was Peanut Tillman. It was Lance Briggs. It was Brian Urlacher. They used to have a ton of turnovers they would generate on defense. That's what Lovie preaches. That's why Lovie doesn't – as a matter of fact, he stopped – we the other day in the interview, he stopped someone who said turnovers and forced them to say, you start using the word takeaways. He said, they're not turnovers. They're takeaways. It's a forced act. It's something that we're coaching. Takeaways. So they don't call it turnovers in their building. They call it takeaways. They're trying to actively take the ball away, not luck into something. Lonnie Johnson lucked into it. That's what happened. But Jacob Martin created it, and it's the same way that, you know, they created, Jordan Jenkins created one last week. I mean, this is something that Lovie Smith is going to preach. Punching at the football, when you're gang tackling, he's going to preach, you know, trying to rip the wide receiver's arms off of it when they're more than one tackler down the field. They're going to preach attacking the hand of the quarterback. Clearly, that's been a big emphasis. It is not about trying to get to the quarterback. When somebody is engaged, when the offensive tackle is engaged with you and you're coming around the corner, obviously, Lovie Smith, and I'm just saying this just from watching, Lovie Smith is clearly taught, forget that quarterback's ribs. You should be looking at where the hand's going to come back. That's where you want. We're going to attack the hand, and we're going to knock it out. Because this is not the third time we've seen this. This is not an accident. This is something that is being coached. And that's the difference between Anthony Weaver, God bless him, nice guy, all that stuff. Anthony Weaver didn't know what he was doing relative to Lovie Smith. Lovie Smith has experience. He has a game plan. Lovie Smith has got these guys playing a certain way. The twist games that he's setting up with, like, he's showing some little TT twists underneath. He had a great run blitz where he had a TE run blitz, which means tackles go out and kind of pick off the defensive tackles, pick off the offensive tackles, and the ends will loop inside. And they stuffed the run play there with Whitney Merciless, and somebody else was there to make a play. And the fact is, he's got guys rushing in their passing lanes, their run defense. They're trying to stay in their fits. They're not going to be the most talented team, but what they're going to be is they're going to stay in their lanes. They're going to stay in their run fits. They're going to be more disciplined, and they're going to make more plays up front. They just are. Now, you know, is that going to mean a lot more wins? I think there are going to be people who get a lot, you know, get very excited about this. My concern is still going to be, I just don't know where the offense is going to come
from. Well, that's fine. But is this defense going to be that much better? Because that, you know,
a lot better than last year.
It looks so different.
Well, now we'll find out
because
better.
You're again look at who you're playing. So there's that. But this defense, a ball hawking, attacking, turnover, takeaway machine that it is right now. Boy, if they bring this into the regular season, it's going to be night and day from what that defense, that sieve that we watched last year, that was just unorganized, that was just terribly put together, that was terrible game call. Everything about it was just awful.
Terrible tackle, terrible coverage.
Terrible everything.
Terrible defensive coordinating. It was just every Sunday was a terrible Sunday.
It was awful. So if this is going to be what we're looking at, that is going to be night and day. At least, you know, so they'll lose a bunch of games 16-12. That's fine. That's going to be much better than getting blown out. It's having no chance because the defense can't stop anybody ever. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Deshaun Watson made the NFL's top 100, and boy, is it creepy. So we'll do it on the other. We'll play it for you. It is awful. On the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now, I'm talking about my peeps over at Chastang Ford, and I'm telling you, you have to like the people that you're buying your vehicle from. If you do, you know, I'm telling you, and it's not phony, it's not faked. They are real people that really, really want to do a couple of things. They want to make sure that you got into the vehicle, that Ford car or truck that you want, that is perfect for you. You pick everything out. You customize it exactly how you want it. You can do that all online, or you can come to the dealership. And then you have it at the price that you need it to be. And they're going to work that deal so hard with Ford that they're going to get you into that vehicle at the price that you need. And I'm telling you, I got a lot more car for what I wanted to pay than I thought I ever was going to get. I got the Expedition. It is fantastic, and they just worked that deal until they got me into the payments that I needed. They'll do that for you too. They do that for everybody, and they won't add on at the end. If you're looking for that kind of Ford dealership, you got it right here at Chastang Ford. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown, or you can do it all online at ChastangFord.com.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, so welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So the NFL has its top 100 every year. And I'm surprised. It's a little bit surprising that would Deshaun have been higher had he not had all these issues? He ended up number 18. Do you think Deshaun would have been higher?
Yes. First thing I thought. So my son Alec was reading, you know, 20-11, because he's an Instagram sports fan, so he gets all of his info from Instagram. So And it's just a ton of lists. And he had it. He read it. And I thought, you know, that's fair. 18's fair. My first thought is that he probably would have been a little higher if he hadn't had all these issues. Probably in the top 14. Because if you look at the list,
so like, he led the league in passing yards last year. He was fantastic on a 4-win team, though.
That's what hurts.
That's the problem. But look at the weapons that he had. He lost Fuller, and look at the running game that they had, which was terrible. One of the worst in the league, if not, I don't even know. But were they the worst in the league? I don't know. Anyway, so the whole team was Deshaun.
Yeah.
If you're one of the best quarterbacks in the league, now, where would you put him his season last year as far as quarterbacks go? Aaron Rodgers had the best year.
Yeah, Aaron had the best. Mahomes was better.
Brady wasn't better.
Josh Allen was better.
Josh Allen was better.
So you're talking about probably the fourth best.
Fourth best season last year as far as individual statistics.
Stats. A lot of them didn't have any bearing on
the winning.
And it's
the quarterback position, so it's going to weigh heavier. But as far as other positions go.
Do you have the people around them? Just listen to the numbers around them. Tell me what you think. Dalvin Cook is 20. Number 19 is Buda Baker. Respect to them for recognizing Buda Baker is important. Buda Baker is a baller. I'm surprised they had him inside the top 20, but he's a really good player. Deshaun, 18. So you have Xavien Howard, led the league in interceptions, 17. Miles Garrett, 16. A damn good pass rusher. Tariq Hill, 15. That's just three ahead of him. He's the most explosive wide receiver in football. Alvin Kamara, 14. Jalen Ramsey, 13. Russell Wilson, 12. Stephon Diggs.
Would you say 11. That Russell Wilson deserved to be ahead of Deshaun Watson?
That was one that I immediately told Alec. I said, that seems a little high based on how he did the second half of the season. You know, the year before, though, he was number two
in the NFL top 100.
He dropped to 12. Deshaun, the year before,
was 20.
He moved up two spots. Which, if you're working off of where they were last year and you move forward, yeah, I could see.
It's the top 100. He had the 18th best season. He is considered with everything. His entire resume puts him at 18.
How many touchdown passes did Deshaun have?
He was wonderful.
Yeah, he had 33.
Yeah.
Do you know how many Russell had?
How many?
40.
But remember, Russell fell off now.
Russell was the MVP. It was almost a wrap
at the midseason. Until he fell off.
And then he fell off so hard. But that's what I mean. Like, Russell is probably getting the bump for having 40 touchdowns. I just remember how he was not the same guy over the last six games of the year.
Okay, so all of these, though, videos.
But they're really good players, though.
The top 100, they put together videos, NFL videos. Other guys talk in them. You know, guys will talk about, hey, Russell Wilson is unbelievable. Some defensive end from San Francisco or whatever.
Well, we know when we play Russell Wilson that it's going to be a battle because no matter how it's blocked up, Russell's going to make, I know.
Yeah, and then the NFL voice guy, it's really, really good. It's well put together, a lot of sound, a lot of mic'd up sound, all of that. And then there was Deshaun's, and here it is, and it is not quite like any of the other ones.
Nobody knows when Deshaun Watson will take the field again.
Oh, gosh. What? That's ominous. Set.
His future is uncertain. But his talent is unquestioned.
Wow. It's like
is that the
a
Undertaker?
Horror movie.
Is Undertaker getting ready
Quite
to come
simply,
out of the...
That's he can Undertaker, do things man. On the football field that few others can.
Wow. Let's get... Wait. This guy's excited about doing this
Watson
to Deshaun.
Improvised. Deshaun Watson was able to escape right down the field. Deshaun throwing left side of the end zone. Touchdown! Go!
Got a little touchdown there.
In 2020, he led the NFL with a career-high 4,823 passing yards.
22 losses.
Also threw a career-high 33 touchdowns.
This guy is not very excited about this shot.
What a throw.
Do I have to do this one?
Right. Somebody in the money. NFL said, look, you're Deshaun Watson. Here's the thing.
Mystery.
Number one.
Almost right, everything else
is. The numeric joke I was going to make. I'm not going to do it.
Right.
But he's going to have to say, look, when you do it, we can't have the same level of excitement. If you guys can find something kind of somber and dreary, we have to acknowledge that we don't know if he'll play because this is going to last for a long time. This will be in the archives. So we need to make knowledge that we don't know when he'll be back, so just in case he never comes back.
But did they have to play the Friday the 13th music?
No.
Or the Jaws music? Did they
the
have
God
to?
Almighty, that's the Sean Watson theme music! Like,
what if the next time he plays, they play that as he comes out of the tunnel, whatever place he plays?
And
it sounds like, now, if you've ever been bored and watched a bunch of random History Channel and Nat Geo crap, when they do those, like, is Bigfoot real or are aliens real? Yeah. And they're like, coming up next, dun dun dun, we'll show you hard evidence that Bigfoot actually was walking around a mall in Ohio last week.
That, listen, that was creepy. That was just flat creepy. But, and it was a minute 20. Everybody else is like 4 minutes, 5 minutes. And Deshaun's was a minute. Okay, that's enough.
And
that's enough.
Highlights.
That's enough, Deshaun. So Charles Robinson came out with an article that said, well, ironically, the criminal investigation is, there's a chance because of the criminal probe into Deshaun Watson that it may ensure that he's eligible to play the entire 2021 NFL season. Because to be put on the exempt list, you need to go through an investigation. The NFL needs to investigate. Now, if he does, if they hold off on criminal charges, if they don't charge him criminally, then there is a chance that Deshaun Watson, because the NFL can't investigate, because the NFL does not want the criminal investigations don't want the NFL mucking up their investigation. And oh, by the way, they don't want him interfering. Although the NFL has already interfered, they've already interviewed some of the alleged victims. And the alleged victims have fought back and said how insensitive the NFL was in their investigations. But if the NFL now has to lie back and wait for the grand jury, the FBI, and all of these things to take, the Houston Police Department, all of that to take place, then he says, well, now there's a good chance that Deshaun Watson could play. I don't see that scenario. First of all, I don't see it because he's not going to play for the Houston Texans. And secondly, the other thing is, who's going to trade for him with all that stuff hanging over his head? Nobody. And the Houston Texans are not going to play him. So Charles Robinson, while he may be correct in that it might open the door for Deshaun Watson to play, I think that door is closed as far as the Houston Texans go. We've seen their treatment of Deshaun Watson. He stands over there while everybody else stands over here. And he does his own little workout with a trainer on the other field while everybody is that's playing football is going to be over here. There is zero chance, I think, that Deshaun Watson, because if there is a criminal investigation and there are charges levied, then he goes on the exempt list. If the criminal investigation comes up short and does not charge him, maybe it opens the door for another team to trade for him. Okay, that's a possibility. But I don't know that that's going to happen anytime soon. I don't know that. And oh, by the way, you trade for him and there are no criminal charges this time. Maybe there are going to be some criminal charges down the road. I don't know. I don't see Charles Robinson's article that says that this opens the door for Deshaun Watson. I just don't see that door open at all. 713-780-3776. We're going to go around the NFL. There was all kinds of stuff that happened in the NFL this weekend. So we'll go around the NFL, including, did you see the fight at Heinz Field? Holy crap.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Holy crap. It was bad.
Is getting bad. The fights everywhere. Oh. How about they can't even have, like, they can't even have football practices and team practices?
I know.
Five of the camps, there were fights.
Like, I know.
They can't keep them from fighting anymore.
Well, we'll talk about what happened over the weekend with the NFL next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But who's the underdog here?
Well, until then, we go to Underdog Fantasy. And I was I was doing some research on Underdog Fantasy. As a matter of fact, I was curious about the guys who opened it. I know Mark Cuban is a big investor for him. And in that space, daily fantasy space, it's become obviously a huge business. But what separates Underdog Fantasy from everyone else is that, yes, they do have daily fantasy available. I give you an example. They've got baseball right now. You can go to the front page and three-person, six-person, four-person, two-person, head-to-head. Here's a $15 entry. I think I'm going to get into that here in just a little bit. But they also have – I do want to tell you about their pick'em. They have a pick'em, too, where you can choose anywhere from two to five you know, players. And, like, for example, Trevor Lawrence on his next game out against the New Orleans Saints. Well, I guess it's today. Over under 99 and a half yards. You can take plays like that, stack them together, and if you hit five of them together, you make 20 times your original play. So if it's $10, it turns into $200. And that's just one of the things they're doing on this site, completely legal. And when you use the promo code radio, they're going to give you a $25 cash bonus with your first deposit. Check out all the amazing things they're offering at underdogfantasy.com. Terms and conditions apply. Underdogfantasy.com, promo code radio.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 747 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Fights galore all over and in the stands. Holy crap, there was a fight at Heinz Field between a guy and a woman, and she slapped him in the face, and then it was ugly. The guy stood up. Then he came back at her, and her boyfriend or husband stood up, and the dude just waylaid the husband and just waylaid him. The dude was laying in the seat. It was horrible. But she started. Listen. The guy could have stopped the woman.
You mean kind of like at the Rams, when the Rams were fighting Rams?
Yeah.
When that lady from behind threw the drink for no reason
this
at all?
This was different. She's standing. He's turned around. Oh. She's facing the field. She's yelling at him about something. And he's coming back at her. And the husband is just sitting in the chair. If I'm him, I grab her. Hey, this is enough. Just let's go. Just stop. No, she's in this guy's face and then slaps him in the face. So now,
what are we doing?
Now he comes at her and he's starting to hit her.
Yeah.
And the guy stands up and he gets the snot beat out of him. Just the snot beat out of him. It's kind of on him for letting her get in that guy's face and not doing anything before that, if you want to know the truth. But she started it, and the other dude finished it, and it was it's ugly. I mean, he's hitting her, I'm like, what the hell's wrong? First of all, what's wrong with her slapping him in the face? But secondly, what the hell? Are you people nuts? What is wrong with you in the stands lately? What is wrong with you on the field? You're right. No teams can practice against each other.
No.
Nobody can practice against each other anymore. It's just ridiculous.
I'm trying to find the long form. Do you have the long form fight
of the Heinz Field?
Yeah.
I was on Twitter. I saw the whole thing on Twitter.
Okay, that's where it is. Because the websites, it's a little harder to find. Police are trying to identify
the guy.
Was this old? No, this is the 22nd. So yeah, unless they identify him, they're trying to identify the people who are involved in that fight.
The one guy doesn't want to be identified because he got the snot beat out of him. He wants no part of being identified or anybody knowing his identity.
I think primarily the guy that punched and the woman who slapped him. I think those two.
The woman started it. So I don't know if the guy, you can say he was defending himself, but I do know this. She started it with a slap to the face. So this is going to be awfully difficult for them to adjudicate. That's for sure. Let's talk about a little bit about what happened on the field. Andy Dalton is in a no-win situation. Mitch Trubisky came in and kicked everybody's ass. It was kind of funny. Mitch Trubisky took care of the Bears and just beat the snot out of the Bears. Now that he's a backup for the Bills. And so he had a big night, and that was maybe a little redemption, although it's a preseason game. But Andy Dalton is getting the treatment from Bears fans, and Justin Fields will have none of it. Justin Fields, none too pleased.
Is that something you can ever get used to? Do you notice that sort of thing?
I noticed it. Of course, you know, the fans are awesome getting me out there, but they also have to realize, you know, Andy's a human being too. Andy's out there on the field right now. So I really just think it's kind of disrespectful to Andy, you know, them cheering my name out like that. And, you know, they have to, you know, trust in coach to, you know, make sure he's making the right decisions and, you know, just cheer Andy on. Like, there's no, that's not helping Andy play better than cheering my name. That's not doing none of that. So, you know, I would say, you know, my advice to them would be just cheer for who's out there playing on the field.
Yeah, I mean, guess what, Justin? You're welcome to Chicago. That ain't happening. They're going to continue every time he throws an incompletion. They're going to be.
Well, we knew this was coming. I mean, Justin, this is something I called the day it was, the day Andy, you know, the day they drafted Justin Fields. I'm like, poor Andy Dalton, because he is going to be booed by his own fans. The media is going to crush him. And it didn't take long. I mean, the media, but it's national media. The cause celebre of everyone is Justin Fields must be protected by every member of the media. It's of utmost importance that you wouldn't know that he was 9 of 19 this time around. He is just quiet as a church mouse. No one's saying anything about when Justin went off last week. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. People were ready to fight Matt Nagy. You had Emmanuel Acho was ready to fly down and fight him. And
Sam or Emmanuel?
I think it was Emmanuel.
Was it Emmanuel?
Yeah, Emmanuel's the one who does TV.
Isn't Sam the one that does TV?
I think it's
Emmanuel. Does I think
Fox
First Take?
Yeah, with on Fox.
Or,
yeah.
First Things First and The Bachelorette or Bachelor, or one of those.
And then Sam doing also TV
on ESPN,
too?
I think.
Well, one of the Achos, maybe both of the Achos were going to fight Matt Nagy.
Okay.
And now it's like quiet as a church mouse now. This is all, it's all irrelevant. Andy Dalton is going to get the start. He's going to get booed every time he goes on and throws an anchor. Anytime they go three and out, the Bears are going to get booed.
Yeah.
This has been in the works forever. This is never not going to be the case. Justin is the future. Andy is the past. Andy's the Band-Aid guy. Justin is their Deshaun. Andy is, I don't want to call him the Tom Savage because he's obviously much better than Tom Savage. But the question is going to become, when does Matt Nagy pull the trigger? With Bill O'Brien, there was such a talent disparity between the number two guy, Deshaun Watson, and number one guy, Savage, that even though he wanted to bring along Watson slowly and all that, and I get it, you know, but Deshaun had a lot of experience. Well, Justin Fields, he has 2 years as a starter, but he's playing some big games. Like, Justin's got some of that Deshaun experience too. And so Andy Dalton is better than Tom Savage, but I think Andy's best days are behind him. And the fans don't want to see Andy Dalton. They want to see the new guy.
That's the Kenny Red Rocket you're talking about there. Put some respect
on
him.
Yeah, I know it is. I know it is. But I thought it was a classy move by Justin Fields to stand up for a guy who supposedly they get along great.
Yeah.
Supposedly they get along. And Andy's been a very good mentor, because that's not always the case where the number one guy, the veteran, is not always a good mentor. And in this case, Andy is a very good mentor, they say, for Justin Fields, and they like each other, and they get along. And I thought that was a cool move by Justin Fields, because Justin's the future. We all know that. And his time's going to come this year. It'll come this year. But you knew there was going to be an issue in Chicago, and Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, you know, the bottom line is Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace may both buy themselves another year, because they're both on the hot seat if Justin Fields plays well for them. Now, here's the concern, John. Dave, will you tell me? I'm just kind of working through this in my head. If they start, let's say they started Justin Fields from the very beginning, and Justin Fields plays well early and then struggles after some tapes out there on him, struggles late, and ends up having a rookie season with 17 touchdowns and 14 interceptions, you know, nothing too crazy, like what a typical rookie season kind of looks like. You know, has 5 rushing touchdowns, runs for 500 yards, throws for over 3,000 yards. You know, a decent year. That may or may not be enough to save them. But if they throw in Justin Fields after week 6, let's say they're 3-3 and they go with Justin Fields in week 7. I'm just picking a random week. Then that might be, and then that's going to re-spark. The fans will get excited. There will be a lot of talk. I just kind of wonder if Justin Fields gives them an opportunity to say, "Hey, we got to see what this kid can do. We're going to grow with him." And where ownership, the McCaskies, may say, "You know what? Yeah, let's go another year. Let's let Ryan Pace keep building. Let's let Matt Nagy have one more year with I think the drafting a quarterback could buy Matt Nagy another
year. Absolutely could. It absolutely could. No, that scenario could absolutely play out. And God forbid, what if he plays well? They make the playoffs with Justin Fields. You never know. And if they do, then Matt Nagy did and Ryan Pace both did. And they can thank the Denver Broncos. They can thank the Denver Broncos for passing on Justin Fields and when they needed him. Although Teddy Bridgewater, look, we haven't even touched on what happened all the other games in the NFL. We will do that on the other side. There's so much news to talk about, news and notes, and here's the fight. You haven't seen
it. Yeah, I'm watching it now.
You're watching it right now.
And you know what's sad is that everyone's saying, good, she got what she deserved. Like, hitting women is not a big deal to people now. They're pro hitting
women.
Well,
she should.
She slapped him first. I'm not saying she should have, but knocking, you know, punching her, the husband, and all that stuff. It's just sad that this is what we do now. Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it now we're justifying?
Well, she was out of control. She was.
I think he could have controlled her without punching her. Probably.
Yeah. But she slapped him in the face.
No, I get it. Get it. Maybe. So I mean, she does need to be punched or what?
No, I mean,
what's I'm saying? What's? Well, I don't know what the.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying. She's the one.
No, she was
the one out of control.
Although he put his hands on her first.
Yeah, but he just to hold her. He didn't hit her. Whatever the case may be, no, it ain't right.
Bad.
But she
and then the
is
fans cheered.
She
you know,
can't
in Hinesfield.
Be. But she's an idiot. She's an idiot. So if you're looking for,
she got her husband knocked out,
knocked the snot out of him.
Although he came back too, but boy, he got punched
boom
hard,
boom, boom. Oh my God, his head snapped.
And
back.
Then she's yelling at him, "Sit down." You know, he should have said, "Shut the up."
Yeah.
Will you shut up? Oh, you just got me punched in the face.
I mean, she is.
That ride home is better be a real uncomfortable ride.
Oh, dude, that ride.
That better be a real
ride
uncomfortable ride.
That ride home is drop her off and keep going.
I don't want to hear from you, Karen.
That ride home.
Keep your mouth shut.
No, that ride home is. I'll see you never again. Bye.
758
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time to talk a little Champion Energy and your electricity bill is not what it could be if you're not with Champion Energy. Look, if you're looking for the best way to get that electricity, what you need is my peeps. Alex Bregman tells you about it. Alex Bregman's going to be activated. If you're looking for a great way to get into this electricity and save money and get the best in service, all you got to do is go to champion.energy/1560. That's champion.energy/1560.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.